Okay, today we are on the last daf of Bava Kamma. Okay, finishing. We started with the Mishnah. I'll just review the Mishnah. Kuf Yud Amabet. Ein lokchim min haro'im tzemer v'chalav v'gdim v'lo mishomrei peirot etzim u'peirot. Remember, there's certain people you can't buy things from because the assumption is they're selling someone else's stuff. So if you're a roet zon, you might be selling the stuff that comes from the animal. If you're a shomer peirot, you might be selling the etzim or peirot that belong to, right, you're watching someone else's stuff. You might be selling their stuff. Aval lokchim min hanashim klei tzemer b'Yehuda klei pishtam b'galil, b'galim b'sharon. The assumption about these places is that women in those places traded. Remember, in general, the men did the trading and the selling, but in those particular places, it was known that the women sold those commodities, and therefore, you were allowed to buy from them. V'kulan sh'amru lahatmin asur. But if anyone tells you, please hide this stuff, no, don't show anybody, then obviously we're suspect that something's going on. That's because anywhere you go, the assumption is that stuff is so cheap that nobody's going to be stealing it. Okay. Do you want to use this? Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein lochim min haro'im lo izim v'lo vdiim v'lo gizim v'lo tlushin shel tzemer. Okay, you can't take from the roim, not the sheep or the, right, an ez is a goat, not the gdi, the sheep, not the gizim, not the fleeces, and lo tzlushim shel tzemer, like strips of wool. Aval lokchim mehem tvurim mipnei she'en shelahem. But if they already sowed them, then what happens? If they did steal it, what do we say? Shinoi kone, and if shinoi is kone, then it's their own. And remember, this is just good review for everything we've learned about gazela. If somebody steals something and you buy it, so remember, you're buying it from the original, you're basically stealing it from the original owner because it still belongs to the original owner, assuming it didn't have yeish, right? But then there's actually a machloket. Okay, we didn't see this because it happened on Daf Samach something. But there's a machloket about whether Yeish alone is kone by a gazlan or not. Okay, so if you say Yeish is kone, then if he was with Yeish, he's kone. But we won't necessarily know that. But anyway, we generally don't pasta that Yeish alone is kone for a gazlan. We generally say you need Yeish and Shinoi Rishut or Shinoi by a maaseh. So therefore, if you're a ro'eh and you take the wool, you steal it, but then you turn it into something else, you sew it, that's a shinoi, and once it's a shinoi, he's kone. If he's kone, well, then you're buying from him, and that's okay. You just can't buy from him if it still belongs to the original owner. Okay? So now, okay. This disagrees with our Mishnah. This says the chalav and gvina you can take if you're bamidbar, but not by yishuv, because the assumption is in the midbar, they're not going to schlep it all the way back, so the owner gave them rights to sell it. V'lokchim mehem dalet v'hei tzon, v'dalet v'hei gizim. And you can take from them four or five tzon, or four or five fleeces. Aval lo shtei tzon v'lo shtei gizim. Rabbi Yehuda omer, baitiyot lokchim mehem, midbariyot ein lokchim mehem. You can take from the baitiyot, from the domestic ones, but not the desert ones, you know, the wild ones. Klalos shel davar kol sharo'em mocher u'balabai margish bo lokchim mehem. Ein margish bo, ein lokchim mehem. So now his assumption is, if the roe is going to notice, and if the balabai will notice, then you can take it, because that's why it's four, right? The four or five came up before, but now Rabbi Yehuda is saying also, if they're baitiyot, then the balabai will be margish bo, because it's near the house, and he'll pay attention that the guy's selling it, and therefore the assumption is he wouldn't be selling it unless the balabai allowed him to. But if it's in the midbar and the balabai will have no idea, then no. We're going to get to, as I said yesterday, what exactly he's arguing about. Is he lekula or lechumra, etc.? We'll see. Amar mar. So now we're going to go back into this braita. Lokchim mehem dala v'hei tzon v'dala v'hei gizim. Hashti yesh lamar arba'a zavninan chamisha mebahe. What is this arba'a v'chamisha? Do you remember, by the way, we had this a few times. I remember one of the cases, mifanim on Shabbat. You can move four or five things out of your storage house, or a mifanim, four or five. I can't remember, but the four or five came up, and there was a whole question. Probably the Mishnah used the Lashon four It means just four or five. It's just a way of speaking. But the Gemara likes, what do you mean? Four or four, then four is enough, and then you don't have to say five. So now they want to understand why four or five. So there's going to be two interpretations of what Rav Chista actually said. Am Rav Chista, arba'a mitoch chamishah. It means four out of five. If he sells four out of five of what there was, then obviously it's going to be noticeable. It depends whether it's a big flock or a small flock, and then it's going to be four or five proportionally. Now there's another problem here, which seems to imply, right? It seems to imply four or five is okay, but three already won't be noticed, and therefore it's asur. But notice in the seifa it says avalosh de'atzon, which sounds like three is okay. Hashalosh zavnina. So what are the answer? Lo kasha habibriyata habekachishta. There's fat ones and there's thin ones. So if it's fat ones, then three already is allowed because it'll be noticeable. If they're very thin ones, then three won't be allowed. It won't be as noticeable. And therefore, right, the assumption is if it was a very fat sheep, it would be more noticed if he was missing. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Baitiyot Lachimeh Midbarer in Lachimeh. So he buy Elihu, Rabbi Yehuda, Aresha Kai Ulechumra, Odilma Asefa Kai Ulekula. So how does this work? Is he referring to the Resha and he's Machmir? How does this work? Aresha Kai Ulechumra. Damar, what did the Resha say? Lachimeh and Arba'ava Chamishat Zon. And what's he saying? When we allow you to take our Arba'ava Chamishat Zon, that's only, comes Rabbi Yehuda to say, Hani Mile Baitiot, Aval Midbariot, Afilo Arba'ava Chamishat Lo. And then he's really Machmir. Or do we say, O Dilma Asefa Kayu Lekula, Damar, Aval Afilo Arba'ava Chamishat Lo. Sorry, I just read the wrong line. Aval Lo Shtei Hatzon Velo Shtei Gizim. Now he says, right, you can't sell two. And what does he come and say? You actually can sell two depending on where you are. Hanemile, midbariot, that's only in the midbar you can't sell two because then he will, you know, that will be unnoticed and it will be stealing. Aval betiot, shtayim nami lokim, but if it's a domestic animal and he's living in the house, then even two you can sell because obviously you wouldn't be selling it right under the owner's nose. So is that what he means? That's the question. Tashma, let's try to figure out the answer. Titanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, here's a brayta where Rabbi Yehuda appears, and here it's going to be very clear, or mostly clear. Lokchim baitiyot mehem, ba'en lokchim mehem bidbariyot, u'bechol makom lokchim mehem arba'av ha'chamishat zon. So what does this imply? Mida amar bechol makom, what does that seem to imply? Shmamina, asefa kayo lekula shmamina. It sounds like he's being makel. The four or five could be anywhere. In which case, his comment wasn't on the resha, it's on the seifa, and therefore we see that he's going lekula. And he's basically saying, even two you can sell in the yishuv. Okay, now we're going to get to the shomrei perot. Loma shomrei perot. Rav zaven shvishta me'arisa. He bought stuff from an aris. Okay, I was trying to explain the shavishta. Shavishta are like stalks of a vine. So he bought stalks of a vine from a sharecropper. Remember, we talked about a sharecropper before, right? So Amar le Abaye v'hatna v'lo mishomrei perot itzimu perot. Right, you can't buy itzimu perot from shomrei perot. So isn't an aris a sharecropper like a shomrei perot? And how could you go against our Mishnah? Amalei, hani mile b'shomer, delately b'gufa da'aramidi, aval aris, ki itle b'gavai, ema b'dinafshe kamazbin. What are we assuming here? A sharecropper is different from a shomer. A shomer peiro works per hour. He watches your stuff. He doesn't have any rights to any of the stuff. Whereas a sharecropper has rights to some of the produce. So because he has rights to the produce, therefore, if he's selling you stuff, you can assume he's selling you from his share. Okay, and therefore it's okay. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Shomrei perot lokchim mehem kashen yoshvin umochvin vasalim lifnehem v'tortani lifnehem. The shomrei perot you can buy if they're sitting, if they have like a spot in the shuk that's a real serious setup, you know, and they've got their salim, their baskets in front of them, and they have their tortani, that's the scales that they're weighing before them. That's not the same as like being out in the field and seeing the shomer peirot and he tries to sell you stuff. So if he's selling you like that, it's okay. But again, we're going to say like our Mishnah said, "V'kulam she'amru hatmein asur." But if anybody tells you, hide this, don't let anyone see, then obviously you know that there's some wrongdoing going on here. Lokhim mehem mipetach hagina, aval lo me'achorei hagina. Even if they have their setup and they're selling with their skills and all that, only if it's in the front of the garden, not if it's behind. If it's behind, then obviously also they're trying to hide. Okay, now we have a very interesting question, and more interesting, the psak of Shmuel. Itmar, gazlam me'emat mutar. We're going to get to this in Sanhedrin also. When somebody's bad, and we don't, like when Sanhedrin it's going to be, we don't trust them to be a witness anymore because they've done certain things. How do we know, okay, this is very relevant for our time of year, how do we know that they've done tshuva, right? So Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a time of tshuva. We do tshuva between us and God. But when you're talking, and it's all between us and God, very personal what I do, right? But when you're talking about people and relationships and people coming to court to testify or here you want to buy something from a gazlan, how do you know that he's really done tshuva? Right? We don't know what goes on between him and God. We don't know what happened that year on Yom Kippur and whether he really did tshuva or not. So at what point are you allowed to buy from a gazlan? Okay, so what does Rav say? Rav says, okay, this could be very different. Eventually we'll get to the sugya in Sanhedrin where it goes into all the details of all, and it's a little bit more tshuva related. This isn't so tshuva related, but this, it's a little bit. And because Rosh Hashanah, I wanted to kind of mention that there's a bit of an issue here. But what do they say here? When can Me'ematan Mutar L'Knot Himenu? So Rav Amar, Adjit Tehei Rov Mishalo. You have to remember what happens. A gazlan, let's say, wants to do tshuva, but he's got all this stolen property. He doesn't even know where to return it all to, right? And he doesn't even remember, was that stolen, was that not stolen, or did I buy it with stolen money or not? So what does Rav say? You have to wait until you figure out that the majority, he's done a big turnover, and the majority of his stuff is no longer stolen. And then what do we go? It's basic rov. We assume, if I'm buying something, we say it came from the majority of his stuff, which was not stolen. But Shmuel Amar, afilu mi'ut shelo. Even if just a minority of his stuff is stolen, you're allowed to buy it. Now that seems to contradict the Mishnah, right? Because the Mishnah was saying you can't buy this stuff from the roim. And you might say, right, part of the stuff is his, but most of it maybe is stolen. So why does he say that you're not, you know, why does Shmuel say that it's okay? How does he seem to somewhat go against our Mishnah? And not only that, not only does Shmuel pask in this way, but Ore le Rabbi Yehuda la'ada da'ila kedivrei ha'omer afilu mi'ut shelo mamon. Okay, so what is Rav Yehuda? He even taught, he said to Ada, this guy was a steward, that he told him that we can go like Shmuel, basically. Okay, and because of that, some of the posts can paskin like Shmuel, other ones paskin like Rav. There's a bit of a debate about how we paskin here. Okay, so what's the difference between this and the Mishnah? So there's two ways to read it. One is that when we say Rov is stolen, we're saying here Rov is bechezkat stolen. We don't really know it's stolen. Because, again, how do we ever really know? The Mishnah was talking about, well, we know it's Vadai stolen, because the Ro'eh, he doesn't own any of that stuff. It's all belonging to somebody else. Whereas this is talking about where we're just assuming it's Rov is stolen. If it's just an assumption that it's Rov is stolen, then we can allow people to buy from him, as long as there's some Mi'ut, and we can rely on that. Another interpretation is to say there's a difference between a Ro'eh and a Gazlan. A Ro'eh, we don't know that this guy has any other money. Where Gazlan, who's living in the city, he has other property, so we can assume he's selling us something. Whereas this Ro'eh has, you know, remember, you have to remember those shepherds who were out there and they had nothing, right? They basically had their sheep and that was basically it. So anything he's selling, the assumption is it would be stolen, okay? Whereas there's nothing else to rely on. In this case, there is. So those are two possible ways of seeing the difference. Okay, now we're moving on to a Moser, okay? Strangely, the Gemara calls him a Masur. I don't know if it's a mistake or it's just a different form of the same word, right? You could a little bit see an allusion, a masur. He's moser. Remember, we learned about the moser. It's someone who turns in somebody else's money to the authorities. So he turns someone else in the end he's going to be turned in. In other words, maybe it's like a reference to what will happen to him. Mm-hmm. Okay, a masur. Rapuna v'Rav Yehuda, there was a machloka between them. Chad amar mutar la'abdo biyad. You can take his possessions and destroy them with your own hands. V'chad amar asur la'abdo biyad. You're not allowed to destroy his possessions. Okay, so what's the idea here, right? The assumption is we're trying to deter him from doing this. Manda amar mutar la'abdo biyad. Why does he say this? Because lo yehem mamono chamor migufo. His mamon shouldn't, we shouldn't treat his mamon any better than we treat his body. Now, what did we say about his body? Remember the famous story we saw? that you're, when Rav Kahana killed the Moser. Yeah. So you're allowed to kill a Moser, basically. So if you can kill a Moser, then you can obviously destroy his stuff.
I don't know if you're allowed to kill. I mean, you think you could. I don't think it's bad to say you're allowed to kill him because he got some kind of punishment for it.
Well, he didn't necessarily get a punishment for it. What do you mean? Okay, so now we have to discuss, what does this mean? Okay, so we discussed it with the story. I'll review a little bit. There's some sugyas about it also. Basically, the assumption is that when he's going to be Moser someone, okay, before he actually does it, that's when you're allowed to kill him. Because then he's endangering someone else's life. And as remember what we said, the assumption is he's going to turn over the other guy's possessions. Once he turns over the other guy's possessions, they're going to want more from that guy. They're going to see that guy's money. And they're going to keep bothering him until he gives them all their money, and then they'll eventually kill him. That's the assumption. So because of that, he's considered like someone who's going to kill somebody. Or he's a rodef. So therefore, you're allowed to kill him. Once he already does it, you're no longer allowed to kill him. Right? Because the act is done. You're not like a court that can judge people and kill them. So therefore, the deen is only when it's potential. And that's why, if you remember, we started out that story and we said, what do you mean? The guy only said he was going to do it. How could we kill him based on what he said he was going to do? But it's dafka, because he said it, we want to prevent some future death from happening, and therefore we're allowed to kill him. So there's a machloka, there's a sugya that talks about you can't actually kill him biyadayim, but you can throw him in a pit and let him die there. Okay, which is a little indirect, okay? It's like grama or garment, right? The whole, okay? So if that's the case though, then you should be allowed to destroy his property. The other opinion says, maybe he'll have children that are worthy. In other words, don't kill him now. Maybe though there's something good that will come out. Uchtiv yachin rashav tzadik yilbash. Okay, which means, I forgot the translate. Right, this is from Eov.
The wicked one prepares and the righteous one clothes himself.
Okay, so the wicked one prepares and the righteous one clothes himself. So how would that work with this? That while he's working, you know, there's... Because what?
Trying to deprive the inheritors.
Because you can't deprive the inheritors because maybe they'll be righteous. Right. Yeah. He's preparing, but the tzaddik, right, maybe there'll be something good coming out of him. Okay. Rav Chista, havaleahu arisa, to have a takel v'yayv takel v'shakel. Okay, nobody really knows what this means, okay? Literally, it means he was measuring and taking, right, what's the translation? He was... he was measuring and giving, and measuring and taking. Okay, in other words, he was measuring the part. It's a sharecropper. He's measuring his portion, measuring the other portion. Okay, three. We're going to see that they call him a chote. So some of these translations are going to be strange. One interpretation is that he was so very careful. This is very interesting. He was so meticulous in measuring exactly his portion, exactly the other portion. That was considered a chote. Like it's bad to be so midayek in your measurements. Like, I'm getting exactly this. I want to make sure I get exactly my portion. Right? Some people have that in the house. You know, you're taking my part, right? That happens in your house. Like, this is mine. Okay? Right, exactly. So it's not a good midah. Now, whether you can, you know, some of the person, well, you're calling him a chote because of that, that's a little extreme. But they say it could also lead to chataim because it shows you're so obsessed with what's yours that you might actually end up taking also other things down the road. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another is he would take more than the standard percentage of arisim. Like, let's say most arisim get a third and he would take, you know, half. Okay? And then other people say, no, he was actually, okay, this is the farthest, he was actually tricking, and he would weigh one with one stone and weigh another with another stone. Right? Remember, they had those balancing things, and they would put stones on the side to measure it out, and he would switch the stones in between so that it would be imbalanced. Okay, either which way, he had this aris, and that's what he was doing. Salke kra nafshe, v'tzapun la tzadik chel chote. Okay, in other words, it's for the tzaddik, right, I forget how all these psukim work, 1 second. Right, tzapun is shamur la tzaddik, the mamon of the chote. Okay, in other words, that I'm going to eventually get his portion. Okay, I'm the tzaddik, he's the chote, right? I'm going to eventually get his portion. Ki ma tikvat chanev ki yivatzea, or ki, one second, let me check the, ki yivtza. Okay, what's the tikva of a flatterer once he, when he, what he does? In other words, what this really means is, what is a thief really going to get in the end? Ki yeshel eloha nafshi. Okay, because, right, God will eventually demand his soul. Okay, in other words, you can do all this. This is Eov, right? It's obvious it's Eov, right? What's going to happen to a chote in his life? Eventually, God's going to take away his soul. So now we're going to have a bit of a debate about this pasuk. Rav Huna v'Rav Chista charamar nafsho dinigzal v'charamar nafsho shel gazlan. Okay, what does it mean Hashem's going to take his nefesh? Is it the nefesh of the guy he stole? Or is it the nefesh of the thief himself? Okay, let's read. Manda amar nafsho shel nigzal dichtiv ken orchot kobotzei abetza et nefesh ba'alav yikach. In other words, what's happening here? God will demand from the gazlan the nefesh of the nigzal that he stole. Because what does it mean? When you steal from someone, you're basically like stealing their soul. Because, you know, people get very, right, my neighbor was robbed the other day. It like takes away really something from you, that thought that someone stole from you. So you now, God is going to demand from you the fact that you took away his soul. Manda amar nafsho shel gazlan, dichtiv al tigzol dal, ki dalhu. Don't steal from a poor person because he's poor. Va'al tidake ani bashar. Okay, don't depress an ani in the gates. Ki Hashem yariv rivam v'kavad kovehem nafesh. God will judge their judgment for them and destroy their people, you know, the people who are attacking them, basically, nafesh. And he'll take away their nafesh, which means that God is going to destroy the gazlan. So they're saying it's the nefesh of the gazlan. So now they're going to say, what do you each do with that other pasuk? Ve'idach nami haktiv nefesh ba'alav yikach, mai ba'alav, ba'alav dehashta. It says, the nefesh ba'alav yikach, he steals away from the gazlan. So what does he say? No, now you're, because you stole the nefesh of the gazlan, God's going to steal your nefesh now, right? God's going to take away your nefesh. Ve'idach nami haktiv kavad kovehem, right? God's going to get them for what they did. Matam kamar. Oh no, it's a matam pasuk. Matam v'kavad kovehem. Mishum v'kavai nefesh. Why is he going to steal their nefesh? Because they stole the nefesh of somebody else. Okay? In other words, God will give them their just desserts because of what they did. Okay? These are just, you know, drush showed how to read each pasuk. The main thing is that either, what I want to say about this, they're kind of intertwined in the end is what they're saying. Okay? But is the focus on the fact that he stole the nefesh of someone else, or is just the focus being that God is going to give him his punishment later? By the way, it's clear that they want to end the perek with God in the picture, right? Notice God wasn't appearing very much above a comma much at all. And clearly they want to end this, which in the end, yes, we have our laws and we have our system of laws, but in the end, if our system of law doesn't work, you know, we have someone behind who's going to make sure that things go on, and obviously they quote Eov, which is the obvious, you know, book to be quoting in this context. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol ha-gozelet chaveiro shaveh pruta ki'ilu notel nishmato mimenu. Okay, here we're going to have another drasha from that same pasuk. It's as if you took out his neshama, if you steal even a little bit. Shneamar ken orchot kobotzei abetza et nefesh ba'alav yikach. Ve'omer, okay, we're now going to have four psukim, and they're going to say, why do you need all these four psukim? Ve'omer, v'achal kitzircha v'lachmecha banecha uvnotecha. Okay, he's going to eat the kitzir and your bread and your children. Ve'omer, mechamas b'nei Yehuda asher shafchu dam naki ba'artzam. Okay, because of the Hamas, they caused innocent blood to be spilled. Ve'omer, el Sha'ul v'el Beit Hadamim. Okay, Sha'ul's, his house was called the Beit Hadamim. They killed people. Okay, so we don't yet understand what the connection is. We're going to understand it in a minute. My ve'omer, what are all these additional psukim? In other words, couldn't you have just proved your point that if you steal a shavah pruta, you're taking away someone's nefesh? Couldn't you have proven it from the first pasuk? That's what we already explained from that pasuk. Kobotzei abetza, nefesh ba'alav yikach. He's basically like stealing a nefesh. V'chitem a nefesh didei, v'al nefesh banavu b'notav lo. Maybe you just think he's stealing. That would explain you're stealing the Nigzal's nefesh. But not only are you stealing his nefesh, you're stealing his children's nefesh also. Why? Because you're depriving them of money, which is depriving them of food. Okay? So therefore, tashma basaru banavu benotav. In other words, they're saying, right, he's going to achal ksir chavalach mecha banecha ubenotav. It's as if he's eating your children because he's depriving them of food. Maybe that's only in a case where he steals and doesn't give them the money for it. Remember, there's chamas, which is you steal, but you give the money for it, right? Where the guy didn't want to sell it to you, but he didn't have a loss of money, but he had his loss of his item. Aval hecha diyav dami lo, tashma, so mechamas b'nei hu dasha shafchu dam naki b'artzam. Here you see, chamas, even chamas, when you pay back the money, it still causes, still unpleasant for people and causes them to lose their nefesh. Or, you know, it mars their soul. Maybe it's only if you did it by him, but not grama. This is like a good review of everything we learned in the Masechet, right? But indirect damages, maybe you think that's not, you know, taking someone's nefesh. Tashma al Shaul ve'al beit hadamim al asher imit et givoni. We don't see anywhere in the Navi that Shaul killed the givonim. Okay, you follow? He deprived Nov of, he killed the ear of Nov. They were the ones giving the food to the Givonim. So indirectly, he caused the death of the Givonim. Okay. So there you learn indirect. Okay, back to the women. Aval lokhim min hanashim, tanu rabanan, lokhim min hanashim klei tzemer b'yudah, klei pishtam b'galil, aval lo yeinot ushmanim usaltot, that's solet, right? The velo min avadim, velo min atinokot. Okay, so there's certain things you can buy from them, there's certain things you don't. There's an assumption that the yeinot, the shmanim, and the slatot were more expensive, and therefore the husbands didn't want them selling that stuff, right? So therefore, if they're selling it, they must have done it behind their husbands' backs, and they're selling their husband's stuff. But not you. You also can't buy from Abadim or Tino Kot. In other words, the Nashim you can buy Klei Tzemer B'Yudah and Klei Pishtam B'Galil because those were things they did sell. But you can't buy from Abadim and Tino Kot anything. Abishaul Omer Mocheret Isha Ba'arba'a V'Chamisha Dinar Kedei La'Sok Kipa L'Rosha. If she's selling it in order to buy this hat that they would wear on their heads, then you're allowed to, because the assumption is the husband would allow her to sell a little bit in order to buy herself clothing. I know, these are great sugyas. Bechulan shamru lahatmin asur. But if they tell you hide it, then obviously it's asur. Gabeitz takat lochim mehem davar muat. Now this is a good. This is an interesting one also. Okay, women will appreciate this. If a woman gives a lot of money for tzedaka, we don't accept it. Okay. Now obviously this wouldn't apply nowadays, right? Because women have their own money. But in those days, when women didn't have their own possessions, again they thought that maybe the women were giving the tzedaka money of their husband, and maybe the husband wouldn't have wanted that much money. So they can take davar mu'at from the women, aval lo davar meruba. Okay, not a lot. Okay, hold off on this. We'll get back to it later. There's a machloket here about whether this is also referring to the tinokot and the avadim, or just the women. V'habadidin, okay, if you're the guys who press the olives. So again, what's the story? People bring them their olives to press. They press the olives. So if they're selling olive oil or something like that, then maybe it's stolen, right? So habadidin. If they offer you a large amount, then we assume they're selling their own stuff. Because we assume that that's stolen. Bimuat. Sorry, the different version says it's bimuat. It makes more sense. You can buy from nashim zeitim bimuat in Galil Elyon because pamim adam boshlim korah petach beito v'notein liishol mocheret. Okay, there are some times where the husband's too embarrassed to go out selling, so he'll send his wife out to sell. Right, but he's too embarrassed to do. He doesn't mind asking his wife to do. Okay, last line. Where was I? I lost it. 1 second. Ah, okay. Rashbam gomer lokhim minashim zeitin b'mu'ah. Sorry, I read that. Ravina ikla lebe machoza. Ravina got to be machoza. Atu nashay de be machoza. Ramu kamei kavle b'shirei. They brought bracelets and necklaces. V'kabel minayi. We accepted it from them. So I'm a Rabbi Tosfa, the Ravina. How'd you take this jewelry from the women? The assumption is he was taking it for tzedakah purposes, not for his own purposes. So how could you take it? Amarle, here's a good line. For the b'nei mechoza, this jewelry was nothing, right? It's like the same thing. People give tzedakah, right?
It's all relative,
okay? So therefore, you're allowed to accept the davar merubah, which to these women was davar mu'at. I thought that was a good line. Okay. Now, we're going to end the Masechet with a seemingly strange section, okay, we're going to see it's a little complicated to understand because we don't understand the reality of their times. It's very much a sugya that's all focused on the jobs in those days and the tools and the utensils that they used. Okay, so it's going to be a little tricky to understand the reality of all of it. I'll stick with one interpretation for all these, but a lot of these cases, it's a little unclear what exactly they're talking about. We're going to see all sorts of cases, and then we'll end the Masecha with a little bit of a description as to why I think they ended the Masecha with this. You have to remember, this is a little different from a typical end of Masecha, because it's all really one Masecha. You remember, this is all Masecha din Ezekin, and they split it into three Sha'arim. But each one has its own topic, so even they kind of close off the topic of Gzela with this. Okay. Muchin sha'kovetz motzi hare elu shelo. If the launderer... Okay, now the assumption, we can read this as a regular launderer, or maybe it's the launderer who launders the beged before using it for the first time. It might make a little more sense if you go with that interpretation. It's part of the preparation of getting the beged ready. So if he takes out, right, the muchiner's, I forget, their strings, their, right, pieces of wool that he takes out when he's washing it, sometimes some pieces of wool come out. So does he get to keep them or not? So hare elu shelo. We assume that if he takes out a few pieces of string of wool, it doesn't belong to the guy who brought him the beged to make or to wash or whatever he brought him for, right? The guy assumes some of these were going to come out and he can keep them. Bas sorek motzi hare elu shel bal habayit. If the sorek, then remember the guy, then they combed it, right? They would comb it. And when they comb out, if he would take out, right, if he took after washing, this, some stuff would come out. That has to go back to the Baal HaBayit. Koves notel gimel chutin behen shelo. The koves can take three strings out, and they're his. But yet, he can't arrange elisha Baal HaBayit. So now it's going to be a matter of how many come out, right? It's three strings, so he could take. Any more, he has to return. Imaya shachor al gabe lavan. But if there were black strings in a white garment, notel etakol behen shelo. Then obviously, they needed to be removed, and he could take them all. Hachayat, now we go to a tailor. Sheshier tachut kedei litforbo. He left a little string in order to be able to sew. Umatlit shehi gimel al gimel. And a matlit, right, remember, if you're going to sew with a string, you need it to be a certain length, okay? So that kind of length. Or, we've seen this matlit gimel al gimel. It means three etzbaot by three etzbaot. That's the minimum that a poor person would actually use for something. A rich person wouldn't, but a poor person would. In Sukkah, right. In Sukkah, it came up, I think, in Shabbat also. It came up with Tumah and Tara. That's a bag that's Makabal Tumah. Any smaller than that, it's not, because it's not considered anything. So this Gimel al-Gimel etzba'ot have elu shabal abayit, okay? If he left out enough string to sew with, or the 3x3 little piece, that goes back to the bal abayit, because that's already significant. Masha harash motzi b'ma'atzad. When the carpenter is working, and he uses an adze, okay, this is some sort of cutting tool. So hare elu shelo. The assumption is it cuts very small pieces off, right? It's like shaving the edges. Ubik shil, but if you use an axe, which cuts off bigger pieces, then it's shel bal habayit. The bal habayit, you have to give it back. V'imayahu say it's a bal habayit, but if the bal habayit said, come and work in my house, then what happens? You have to leave all the materials with the bal habayit. Okay, because af hanasarim shel bal habayit, even the sawdust belongs to the bal habayit, because... the assumption is that's why he wanted you working in his house. He wanted all the extra stuff.
By the way, some of this is applicable to today.
Yeah.
Just so you in go terms to the tailor and you get the material and you have leftover materials, it goes over to there.
Exactly. Very good.
So, I mean, they ask you give a carpenter wood or you buy a carpenter wood. And you say,
well, the concepts here are incredibly relevant. The concepts are very relevant, and some of the actual cases are relevant. Some of the, right, so, because we don't do the laundering in that way, right? So we'll see. It's going to get more complicated in terms of all the things. That was really the horrible expert. But yes. Tana Rabbanan. Lokhim uchim in a koves, mipnei shen shelo. Hakoves notel shne chutina elyonin vehem shelo. We could take the two upper chutim. Velo yatilbo yoter mishlosha. Okay, but he can't, right, what does it mean, yatilbo? He can't...
Stitch.
Right, when he stitches it... Oh, right, these are for... Okay, sorry, I forgot what this one. This is when they would stretch out the material after they wash it, so they put these loops on, okay? So the assumption is here that he can take... two of the chutim. Okay, so wait a minute. This is, right, this is where it got complicated, the reality. One second. He would, right, so he could take the two chutim ha'elyonim. That's fine. But now it's saying that if he's doing these loops, okay, he shouldn't do more than three stitches. okay? Because then it would, right, there was a thing about if he, they would stretch it. And if he would do more than three stitches, it would stretch more, and then more would be end up being cut because it would be like too, it would stretch the material too much. Below yisrok habeged lishtiyo, ela la'arvo. Okay, when you comb the thing, you should do it vertically, not horizontally. Okay, now there's an assumption here again. One of the interpretations I read was about that if the horizontal strings are looser, they're not as tight, and therefore if you do it horizontally, it's going to mess up the strings. Okay, and you have to stretch in a particular direction so it doesn't ruin the strings that are inside the baguette. Umashvehu la'orko avalola rachbo. When you even it out, you get to like cut off a little bit. You even it out, like stretch it, straighten it out, lengthwise and not widthwise. Okay, imagine usually lengthwise is going to be shorter, less to cut off than the width. Just grab a chair from the kitchen. Ve'im ba lahashvoto ad tefach rashai. When he goes to then even out the baguette, he can cut up to a tefach. Amamar shnei chutin. Okay, so now, fine, that's the end of the braita. Now we go back, what did it say here? Shnei chutin we can take, right? Now, remember, that was the first line of the braita. You can take two chutin. V'hanantnam, what about our Mishnah? It said shalosh. Remember, our Mishnah said three chutin. So they say, lokash yahaba alime habaktine. Depends how big they were, okay? Or how strong they were. V'lo yisrok habegad l'shio el el arvo. So now they say, v'hatan ye'epcha. Doesn't it say the opposite? Dafka this way and not that way? Lokasha habiglima habisarbala. Okay, again, different interpretations as to what this was, but a sarbala, some people say, is a more expensive garment, and because of that, there's not a concern that the strings are going to go. I forget exactly the interpretation given. One second, it's a good interpretation here about it. Right, because a sarbala was made for aesthetic purposes, therefore, if you stretch it that way, it's going to be better for the baguette than the other way. Okay, and therefore, we're not as worried. This is like a good, we care more about how it looks than how long it's going to last, maybe, or, you know, whether you'll ruin the strings. V'lo yatil bo yoter mishlosha, chovin. Right, this is, he shouldn't put more than three stitches for each loop. Okay, that was the first thing on the top of the page here, about the three strings more than that for a loop. By Rabbi Yirmiah, if you remember Rabbi Yirmiah, and we'll get to him also in the second part of Bamitzia, he asks these nudniki questions. Am tuye va tuye chad, o dilma am tuye va tuye tre. When you're talking about stitches, right, you go in and you go out. So is in, out, two, or is in and out one, in and out two, right, like laps in the pool, do you count them that way or that? Okay, so what's the answer? Teku, we don't know. Okay.
None of them serves.
Right, because you also have to remember that, like in these sugyas, they're talking about the reality of the times of the Mishnah. And already, the reality in the times of the Gemara, between time having passed and location having changed from Israel to Babel, they no longer knew what they were talking about. So they couldn't answer these questions, really. Like, what did they mean? Okay, so that's why they're also more complicated to understand what's exactly going on. Umashvinu lo kova lo l'rochbo. So v'hatan ye'ipcha also, right? You see here, by the way, they were bright out. They kept saying itself and its opposite, right? So the Gemara keeps trying to reconcile them, but clearly there were different approaches to how to relate to this, even in the time of the Tanaim. Lokasha haba glima haba hamyune. There's a glima, which goes, you know, top to bottom, and there's a belt that goes side to side. So that makes more sense, that one would be relevant for the baguette, and one would be relevant for the belt. Okay? Tanu Rabbanan. Ein lokim en asareg muchin, mipnei she'eno shelo. Ubumkom shenagu liyot shelo, lokchin. Okay, so what do we have here? The comber, right, there's extra strings sometimes. So he can't sell you those extra strings, right? Unless it's a place where makom shenagu, where that the muchim, where the guy, the sorek was the guy who sold the muchim. Like, that was just known. He had his own muchim. So then you can. And then they tell you, and if he sells you a whole pillow filled with these, then you can assume he wasn't stealing that, right? The assumption is he's maybe stealing one or two, a little bit amount, but if it's, so the truth is, I'm sorry, no, and my mistake, I was confusing it with the earlier stuff. No, the Gemara says, because kananu b'shinui, Even if he stole, let's say he's been collecting, right, from people, little bits and little bits, little bits, and he fills up a whole pillow full and he sells the pillow, at that point, you're allowed to buy it. He's still stealing it, but you're allowed to buy it because he acquired it b'shinui, and therefore, like we said in the beginning of the shiur today, and we've been saying for a while, once he acquires it, then you're allowed to buy from him, right? The problem is only buying from a ganav who hasn't acquired the item, because then you're actually buying someone else's item. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Ein lokhim migarde. That's the weavers. Okay, they're always considered the low lives, the weavers. They had like the worst jobs. Okay, now there's going to be a bunch of things that we're not going to know 100% what they are, but you can't take from him, you can't buy from him. The assumption is that he doesn't own this stuff, okay, which fits in with the fact that he was, you know, it was like the lowest job possible. We saw a story once about these two gardim that were sitting in the somewhere, and it was, they were treated very poorly because they were gardim. You can't take from them lo irin, velo nirin, velo punklin, velo shiurei pkiot. Okay, so what are these things? So the irin is these wads that they would use, that they would put the string through, right? They would string the string through. Okay, the nirin are these two. If you're looking at a weaving loom, there's two rows of strings, there's like 10 strings, let's say, going across, and you want to each time put every other one up and every other one down. So there's just two grids that basically, you know, you move them up and down, and that moves up those five, and that moves up, yeah, and then you put the earring through with the string each time, and then you put up the other, you know, put down the other one, and then you put weave it through, and then you put up the other one, and you keep switching. So these are just parts of the weaving loom, and we assume that they don't belong to him. Okay, below punklin, these are the threads, okay, of the earring, or the shirei pkiot, which are the remnants of the coils of the threads that were left on the spool. Okay, whatever is left there, also that you can't buy from him. Aval, what can you take from them? Lokhi mehem beged minumar arei v'shati, tavoi v'arig. Okay, so you can take from them a garment that was made of all different colors, like a minumar, like a namer, you know, spotted. Okay, because it's made from all different strands of different colors. Because he might have stolen it, but he now weaved it together into something. Okay? And then, as long as the stuff is tavoy or arig, it's spun or woven, then it's okay. Because again, b'shinui. So now they say, Amrei Hasha, tavoy, shaklei, arug mibai. Same question as the four or five, right? If you say four, then five, what do you need it? If you say tavoy, arig is a later stage, right? So what do you need? Right? First you spin the thread, then you weave it. So why do you need to say that? So they say, no, my arig techi. It's not woven, it's when they would twirl the threads together. They wouldn't actually spin it. They would twirl the wool together to make it like a thread where it wasn't actually spun. Tana Rabbanan, ein lokhim min atzaba, lo otot, velo dugmot, velo tlushim shel tzemer. Okay, so now with the dyer, now we're up to a new trade. So the dyer, you can't take pieces of wool used for testing or samples or detached pieces of wool, okay, because the assumption is that he stole, you know, that it wasn't his. Aval lokhim mehem beged tzavua tavoy, right? You can take a beged that was dyed or woven or spun. So now this, or tavi and begadim and clothing. So hashta tavoy shakil begadim ibai, right? If he can sell you stuff that was spun, obviously he can sell you begadim. So my begadim namte. Okay, they say begadim here is referring to felt, like pieces of felt, not actually stuff that was made into clothing. Tana Rabbanan, hanoteno wrote labdan. Okay, new trade. Now we have the tanner. Okay, so hakitsuin v'hatlushin. Okay, the kitsuin are the stuff he trimmed, and the tlushim are the hairs that came out of the hide. Hare elu shel bal habayit. That all belongs to the bal habayit. Va'oleh u'meshatef b'mayim hare elu shelo. But when he washes it, whatever comes up into the water, that he can keep. Ve'im haya shachor. Okay, this is the shachor string in the lavan. Amar Rabbi Yehuda katsra shemei v'katsra shakilei. Okay, this guy, his job, he's called a katsra because he can cut things. In other words, he's allowed to, shorten things, I guess, right? Right, because he takes these short shreds of wool, he gets to keep them. It's really not referring to the shakor part. It's just referring to these little strings he can take. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, hakol olin l'minyan tchelet. Okay, so now when you're talking about, this is interesting, the tzitzit, when you make tzitzit, so there's a hole, and then from there the strings come out, right? So the hole has to be placed a minimum, but up to a maximum amount away from the end of the bedet. Okay, so there has to be a minimal shear, and then a maximal, also a maximum. It can't be too close to the end, it also can't be too far from the end. So now they're saying in coming up, so there's different opinions about whether it also relates to the maximum, but let's just go with the minimum. When you're counting the minimum amount, okay, so even parts that you might end up eventually cutting off the baguette come into the count. The Yitzchak Barei Kapid Alayu. Okay, he was very kapid, you know, makpid, that these threads, that basically, he was particular, which was the garment. Right, he would make sure, that's what I thought, I was just making sure, that the garment was long enough, even once they're going to cut these threads off, that there was still the minimum shear even before you cut the threads. Okay. Ha-chayat she-shiyer et ha-chut. V'kama li-tfor. Okay, so now we have the tailor that we talked about before. So the tailor that leaves this thread. So now the question is, what did we say? He needs, right, if you leave out an amount that he needs to sew, then that goes to the balabayit. Okay, so now the question is going to be, how much is that? Kamalit for amravasi milo machat. It's a needle's length. Chutz lamachat, outside the needle. Ibayelahu milo machat bechutz lamachat kimilo machat. Odilma milo machat bechutz lamachat mashu. Did it mean the needle's length plus a little bit, or did it mean the needle's length plus another needle's length? Right. In other words, there's the string and the needle. So is the needle's length plus a little teeny bit, or is it the needle's length plus a whole needle? In other words, a double needle's length. So, what do they answer? Tashma, detanya hachayat shashiyar tachut p'chot mikadei litfor bo, umatlichi p'chuta mishalosh ha-shalosh, bizman shabal abayim makpid alayim, harayim shabal abayim. Eim bal abayim makpid alayim, haray elu shilo. Notice the difference here. This says it depends on whether the bal abayit expected to get it back or not. Now, how is this going to relate to our answer? Because iamar bishlama melo machat bechutz lamachat kimelo machat pocho mikang chazel sichta. Right? Then there's something to talk about. If you say el iamar melo machat bechutz lamachat mashu pocho mikang lamai chazel, if it's any less, right? What did we say? If the bal abayit is not makpid, then it's okay, right? If it's less. So now, what are we going to say? Let's say it's less. Less than this is still something, but if it's less the mashahu, then it's nothing. It's just the melo machat. It's the length of the needle. That's not even anything. So therefore, it must be double the length of a machat. Okay. So elish shmamina melo machat bechutz the machat kemelo machat shmamina. What?
Aren't these things like not shavet pruta?
I guess they are. I guess they're significant. I guess it depends what kind of threads, and I guess it depends also. It's right, so maybe, it could be it's not Shevet Pruta, and maybe I'll talk about that in the last thing I want to end off with. Okay, let's finish up. Masha Harash, Ruminu, Masha Harash motzi b'mitz'ah, v'anifsak b'megera harei elu shabal abayit. V'yotze mitachat makdeach, u'mitachat rihitni, v'hanigrar b'megera harei elu shelo. So now this is distinctions about how much comes out. Again, little chips or bigger pieces. Amar Rava, v'atra ditana didan, ikatarite chatzine l'rabte. Karelik, 1 second. Ikatarte chatzina lerabte and kare lek shiel uluzutray to kare le mitzad. Ba'atrutana bara chadu diikav kare lo maatzad. In other words, there's a difference halacha here for the maatzad is in our mission. So they're saying it was a different in different places. They called it different things, and that's why you know there what they called the maatzad was not what they called the maatzad here. Be'imayau se etzel right. What's this line? Imayau se etzel balabayit. Right. That's achan yisarim shabalabayit. So now they end with. Misatete avanim ein behem mishum gezel. Okay, if you're your smooth rocks, a rock cutter, pieces of rock, there's no gezel because nobody wants those pieces. Mipiskei ilanot mipiskei gvanim minafei hegi minachshei zraim veodre yirakot. So all these things, if you're cutting trees or branches or weeds and all that kind of stuff. Bizman shebalabai makpid alehem yesh mishum gezel. So now we're saying it really sort of depends on what the balabayit wanted. There's certain things that are clear, there's certain things that are in between, right? That sort of depend. Amar of Yehuda, kishot v'chaziz, ein behem ishum gezel. That's the fodder, the stuff the animals would eat. But in a place where they're makpid, there is gezel. I'm Ravina. Umata machasya atra de kaptehu. Okay, Ravina says matza machasya is a place where they were makpid on this, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to take and feed your animals. Okay, very strange last words of a masechet. Hadron alacha goes abatra uslika la masechet babakama. Okay, before we say the hadron alacha, I just want to say that what I think is going on in this last page is a way of, you know, lots of times we talk about, you know, people talk about big issues, and issues sometimes don't really relate to you. You say, oh, that's with, you know, I don't know, I said to Seth last night, I said it's like the conversion issue, right? He talks all the time about the conversion issue and the problems, but most people don't really think it relates to them. And until it actually relates and it comes close to home, do they realize that it's actually something that affects all of us? But, you know, it's very easy for us to look at things and say, oh, that's a problem, but it's, you know, not really our problem. So I think what's very interesting is this masechet was all about people abusing, you know, other people's stuff and damages and stealing. And I think what this last page is basically saying is that in everyday things that you do, you can be potentially stealing all the time. Like, we're all potential robbers. And we have to be so careful to make sure that we're in tune with, number one, what other people, what their interests are, what their concerns are, and what our concerns are, and to kind of basically, you know, that's what it's all about. It's all about your everyday interactions, and the Bava Kamma basically filters down into the basic everyday jobs of all, you know, of all people, because we're constantly being faced with, you know, questions. Oh, is that mine? Is that yours? Do I have to return this? Do I not? And how do I relate to that? And I think it's a way of ending the Masechet with, number one, on Amud Aleph, bringing God into the picture, that, you know, there's some bigger being here behind it, and therefore remembering that in our everyday life, these little things, that these are all also things, like all those psukim in the Torah, V'yareta me'elohecha. No one's going to know, you know, like, and that's why we ask, it's a Shevet Pruta, it's a string. Even if it's not a Shevet Pruta, there's a midah here of, you know, being sensitive to other people's money and property, and that's, I think, what's happening on this last page in terms of making us aware of these issues. Okay. Hazan lach masechet babakam v'hadr chalan, datan lach masechet babakam v'datan chalan. Everyone can join in. Lo nit nashem inach masechet babakam v'lotit nashem inan, lo ba'alma hadem v'lo ba'alma da'atan. Everyone joining in? Hazan alach masechet babakam v'hadr chalan, datan alach masechet babakam v'datan chalan. Lo nit nashem inach masechet babakam v'lotit nashem inan, lo ba'alma hadem v'lo ba'alma da'atan. Hadron alach masechet babakam v'hadron chalan, datan alach masechet babakam v'data chalan, lo nit nashem inach masechet babakam v'lo tit nashem inan, lo ba'alma hadem v'lo ba'alma da'ate. Yihi ratzon v'panach Adonai Eloheinu v'lehi avotenu, shetei tortam v'nutenu ba'olam hazeh, tehe imanu la'olam habach. Hanina bar papa, Rami bar papa, Nachman bar papa, Achai bar papa, Abba Meri bar papa, Raphon bar papa, Rachish bar papa, Surcha bar papa, Ad bar papa, Dara bar papa. Harev na Adonai Eloheinu et divrei Torah, b'finu v'piyot amcha be'Yisrael, v'niyeh kulanu anachnu v'tzetzeinu v'tzetzei amcha be'Yisrael, kulanu yodei shomecha v'lomdoi Torah-techa. Me'avai tachachmeni v'tzotecha ki la'olam hi li. Yihi libi tamim b'chulkecha l'man lo evosh, l'man lo ashkach v'kutecha, ki bam chi itani. Baruch ata Adonai lomdeinu chulkecha, amen, 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 sela v'ed. יהי רצון פניך, אדוני אלוהינו, כשם שעזרתנו לסיים מסכת בבא קמא, כן תעזרני להתחיל מסכתות וספרים אחרים ולסיימם, ללמוד וללמד, לשמור ולעשות ולקיים כל דברי תלמוד תורתך באהבה. זכות כל התנאים והמוראים, תלמידי חכמים, יעמוד לי ולזרעי שלא ימוש תורה מפינו ומפי זרענו ובזרע זרענו עד עולם, תקיים בנו בתהלכך תנחה אותך, ושוכחך תשמור עליך, והקיצותה היא תשיחך. יבריא ירבו ימיך ויוסיפו לך שנו חיים, אורך ימים בימינה ובשמאלה עושר וכבוד, אדוני עוז עמו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו בשלום. שכח.